David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. And they shall speak, and let me just say this right here. If you're going to love someone, it's going to require some meditation and some thoughts. Because love doesn't just happen by accident. And verse number 6, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. And this is an insertion from one of the Hebrew manuscripts in, I believe, the Dead Sea Scrolls or something, Septuagint. In most of the translations. The Lord is, I like it, don't you? The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth. Everybody say, my mouth. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Everybody, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the book of St. Mark, chapter number 12. Aren't you glad that Barnabas gave John Mark a second chance at ministry? Amen. We fail, we all make mistakes. And sometimes there are times when we think that people are not worthy of a second chance. But in the kingdom of God, there is always a second chance. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad that he was there, and I'm glad he wrote this book. And we're reading there in Mark chapter 12 in verse 28 and going down through there through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. People are arguing with Jesus. Sounds like half my prayer closet times. Or sounds like half of your prayer closet times. Oh, wait a minute, you have to pray to be able to. Never mind. I'm using a channel brother with him there. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And Jesus being just the way that he is would never leave anything with just a one answer. Then he goes, I'll give you the second greatest commandment as well. And it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the hearts and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Nothing will get you closer to the kingdom of God. And I see something in what Jesus said there. I think he's talking about something even more supernatural than just, well, you're in the church, as it were. When Jesus said, you are not far from the kingdom of God, he was talking about the kingdom of the Almighty God. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about God's eternal abode and his dominion on the earth. Nothing will get you closer to the kingdom of God than when you realize there is nothing more important than loving God and loving our neighbors. Can I get an amen from somebody? The scribe said it's more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. God doesn't care. He said in the Paul tells us and explains in more detail in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the quote unquote love chapter. If I give my body to be burned and I do not have love, I am just as far from the kingdom of God as the rankest sinner on the streets. If I speak with tongues of men and all these things, if I give everything that I have and sell it and give the money to the poor and I do not have love, love is the most preeminent, the most vital, the most essential thing that the church will ever feel or experience. And the most essential thing that we will ever do in this life is to express love to God and love to our neighbors. There is nothing more important than that. All of this struggle, all of this repenting, all of this cross, all of this blood of Jesus, all of this baptizing and preaching and all of this fasting and praying and all of this being filled with the Holy Spirit, it all bears down to the point of the spear, and that is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is the love of God that is motivating everything that we are experiencing and feeling here. Amen. It is the root and cause and the greatest of all things. And Paul ends the particular chapter in Corinthians chapter 13 by saying this, there is faith and there is hope and there is love that will never ever cease to exist. But the greatest, everybody say the greatest. But the greatest of these is love. Praise God.
Amen.
We are living in a world, if it's ever been more true than it is today, I don't know when, that we are living in a war of words right now.
That's right.
The old saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But the truth is, everyone here knows that's hogwash.
That's right.
Try telling that to somebody who has been a bully. Make fun of. Try telling that to somebody who has been abused by their parents verbally or some other thing. Words have tremendous power. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. God spoke by his word the world into existence.
Amen.
And we have been made in the image of God, and the way that we think and the way that we speak can have a powerful impact on everything that we experience in this life, and how people experience us and respond to us in this life. Words are at the root of every expression that there is. And Jesus understood the power of words. Nobody used words better than Jesus.
Amen.
And the teachers that Jesus was debating and that they were arguing with him about, it was all about words. And the Bible says that they were constantly asking questions to try to see if they could get him to trip him up to say something to get himself in trouble. It was all about getting Jesus to say something that would get himself in trouble. And Jesus understood that and was very careful, and every word that he spoke was perfectly chosen.
Amen.
And the sermons that were written down in his sayings that were, memorized and then later dictated and written down are some of, if not the most incredible, amazing sayings. And even you look at the Sermon on the Mount and all the Beatitudes in it, and it makes the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs even pale. And there's just tremendous words that Jesus used. But of all the words that he could have used, and all of the things that he could have said, when this scribe said, what is the most important commandment? What is the most important thing, Jesus, that we will ever do or ever say? And Jesus said, the most important thing that you will ever do is to love God and to love your neighbor. Hallelujah, to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Amen.
And to love your neighbor just the way you love yourself. And then Jesus says, there is no greater commandment than these.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what is the one thing that we all seek in this life? In the movie Annie, one of my favorite movies of all time, it's a hard knock life. You didn't like that movie?
It's rubbish.
It's rubbish. I love that movie. And little Eileen Quinn just a fabulous job, a little curly-headed, red-headed, crazy kid. And in the movie, there's a very, very wealthy man. They call him Daddy Warbucks. And he has a secretary, an executive secretary. Her name is Grace. And so they're talking about, you gotta bring an orphan in because we need to work on your image. Because Daddy Warbucks only cared about one thing. You know what that was?
Money.
Money. That's all he cared about. And she said, we need to work on your image, so we're going to get an orphan and bring them in and live here with us for the weekend and take lots of pictures and make it public, you know. And so Grace goes to the orphanage. And she runs into this precocious orphan named Annie. And of course, she's immediately taken with her. And that's the orphan she brings in to Daddy Warbucks. And the story is, of course, the weekend, you know, he's got a big giant in-ground swimming pool inside of his house with all marble columns and everything. And he's in there. So, of course, but she has the dog that comes with her. And so the whole story goes, you know, and he's just like so irritated that he has to put up with this orphan girl, but she's so precocious. She just loves freely and openly, which is probably why she had a dog with her all the time. And so when it's all said and done, he gets to start liking her, and they get to start talking about, you know what, we need to adopt her. And the secretary, Grace, is trying to talk him into it. And she said, I don't love people. I don't love children. I don't love any of that stuff. I love money. I love power. Don't think that's important. And Grace said, you know how women can be. She said, yes, but they'll never love you back. And so she talks him into adopting Annie in the story. Of course, again, it goes on from there. And whether we want to admit it or not, love is a powerful motivation force. Everybody is looking for love. And not just any kind of love, but a love that when you know you can trust, you know heart, mind, and soul, that person is yours. And so in this series, we're going to be talking about the five love languages. And the first of these is words of affirmation, which is the one we're talking about today. Some people experience and communicate love through words. And I'm not just talking about I love you. That's kind of obvious. But there is something about there are some people when you walk up to them and you criticize them, you can see them wither up and shrivel like a flower. And there's other people that you can criticize and you can point fingers at and you can make fun of them and they just go, because they don't care what you think. They're so self-confident or whatever. But there are other people that will wither under criticism. But then when you speak to them, you say, wow, you really did a good job. Hey, I appreciate you helping me out with that. You can see. You can see them blossom out. The second love language is quality time. That's my wife's love language, of course. Quality time. And for some people, words don't mean as much. They don't put stock in them. Of course, we're total opposites. They don't put stock in them. And the way that they feel loved and the way that they express love is simply by spending time with you, quality time. And so when I want to show my wife love, I shut my computer down, close my book or whatever I'm doing, and then engage in a conversation with her as she tells me about her day. And then the third is receiving gifts. Some people, it's not about the things. Maybe it is, I don't know. But it's the thought. It makes them feel, hey, you thought about me while you were out doing your business. My daughter is one of those type of people. And you can come in and say, hi, Lambert, here, look, I was at Staples today and I bought some pins that you like. And I know that sounds weird, but when she was 1 year old, some of you were there, Sister Vicki. Some of you were there when Lambert turned 1 year old. And you remember how she was, don't you? And she didn't know, a cow from a dog, from a bird. I mean, she was just a little 1 year old girl, kid. And every single gift that she opened, she booed. Ooh. If it was clothes, ooh. If it was a dog, and she didn't give. A lot of kids were like, just throw it to the side and open the next one. Every single gift. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And of course, there's all adults there because this is a 1 year old kid, and all the adults are like, she liked what I bought her, The truth is, she likes to have things bought for her, and she always likes things being bought for her. That's called receiving gifts. And the fourth is acts of service. The way people show care or the way that they know that people love them or care about them is when they do something that is meaningful, that is helpful. For some wives, that may mean that. If their love language is acts of service, and if the husband goes and he washes the dishes for her, then she will feel loved because he did something to show me that he knows the hardships of the world. And the fifth is physical touch. And this is also, all of these are very powerful in people's lives, some more than others. And a loving touch, somebody reaches out, it touches you with a loving touch. it can have a powerful impact on a person that is moved and motivated by that. And it can be as complicated or as simple as you want it to be. But I think through this series, you'll get to know what your love language is, what the love language of your spouse is, what the love language of other important people in your life is, and you'll know how to hit the highlights for them and really let them feel loved. And I also think that sometimes we don't always love, feel love, or express love in the same way. So it can get more complicated, Sister Misty, where, you know, you can understand what I'm saying, that sometimes you may feel love one way but express it another way. And then if you want to be, and this will be our end goal, is this, that as Christians that we can learn not just to understand what makes me tick and what makes people around me tick, but that we can be fluent in all five languages. Amen. How many of you want to be multilingual and be able to speak multiple languages and not have a stunted or just a lopsided, one-sided love, but have a multifaceted love like a diamond shining in all different directions? I think that is what should be all of our goals to reach for, and to be able to speak more fluently in the things that maybe don't mean as much to us, and learn to do that. And as I've gotten older, and as my children have gotten older, I've grown to be more, to hug them and to touch them and to, you know, and of course you know how teenagers are when you touch them. You know, don't touch me. But so we can grow, we can learn, but we can also teach our children, other people in our lives, that they can grow so healthy and so well-rounded in love that they just ooze love in every direction, no matter who they're with. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could be those kind of people, that we love one another in our families, that we know how to love one another at church, that we can love people at work like that, and just sense in a moment, this is the type of love that needs to be expressed right here, and do it, and see people's lives encouraged and built up. And we can also do that with God.
That's right.
And what do we call that in the church when we show our love for God with words of affirmation? What is that called, Brother Phil? Everybody say, praise. That is a beautiful thing, one of the most beautiful prayers and things that people say. And really what it is it's praise. And you see many people that are filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit for the first time. And what do you often hear them say? No, what do you often hear people say that they repeat it, and they repeat it over and over again, right before they're filled with this? What do you often hear people say?
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, God. It's an amazing thing how simple that is, that people gravitate. I've seen it many, many, many times, and gravitate to that. What is it? It's my expression of love and praise toward God. Praising Him for who He is and praising Him for what He's done. And that's the beauty of having the Bible, all of the scriptures that we do, is so that when we come to praise or come to prayer or come to church, that we don't just have to say the same things over and over again like a child. When they learn a word, they say it over, that, you know. And they just repeat themselves over and over. But as they grow up, they begin to talk and ask questions, and they begin to learn all kinds of things. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we can learn to praise Him in many different ways for many different things.
Amen.
In Psalm 145, David does that there. He talks about the character traits of God. You're great. You are good. You are trustworthy and faithful. You're righteous. You're near to all who call on you. You are gracious. You are compassionate. You are slow to anger and rich in love. And then he's not satisfying to stop with talking about the character attributes of God. And then he starts talking about how God has shown how he has acted out on his love by his mighty deeds, that he upholds those who fall. He lifts up all who are bowed down. He gives all things food to. He opens his hand. He satisfies all desires. He fulfills desires of all those who fear him. He hears a people's cry, and he saves us, and he watches over those who love him, and he destroys the wicked. And we can work on this love thing, this love language called words of affirmation, by praising and worshiping God. And because people don't want to just hear "I love you," oftentimes it's more powerful. People want to hear why you love me. What was that video, YouTube video? What a nightmare that was. Oh, my wife was watching the show. God, forgive us, Lord Jesus, help us. Some show where they deal with dead bodies all the time. You understand how that works. And they're interviewing a lady. The police are interviewing. The FBI is interviewing a lady in the interview room. And you know, she's kind of got skimpy clothes on, got her hair all fixed up, you know, and she's kind of like, you know, and they're trying to find whether she was involved in the killing of her boyfriend or not. And she just keeps repeating, "Why would he love anything? Why would he love any other woman? What? You can't get any better than this." And she just kept going. She was sure why her boyfriend loved her. "Just look at this," she said. "Just look at this. Why would he ever want another woman? Just look at me. Why would he want..." But people want to know, why do you love me? If we're not careful, we can just get kind of, you know, the Bible says, I believe it was the prophet Isaiah was speaking, and God was complaining about his wife. And you know who God's wife was in the Old Testament? The nation of Israel. She comes to me and she says nice things to me, but her heart is somewhere else. She's just saying things, but they don't mean anything. And sometimes praising God can get to be that way. And we need to learn to develop our language of affirmations where we're not. One of my favorite songs is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name." But we need to explore the other psalms and not just always. And there's nothing wrong with your favorite psalms and saying your favorite things to God, but there needs to be some expansion of the language. There needs to be some increasing of our ways. You know, what was that old saying? "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." We need to do more of that with God. He needs to hear why we love him. That's what the psalmists would do. They would go into great detail and lengths to talk about his many different attributes. They would go into great lengths and details to go into his many different actions. And then, when it comes to words of affirmation, God is not the only one that's worthy of our praise. But the people in our lives that God has placed in our lives, they are worthy of our praise as well. And we need to work on our love language because sometimes it's a little weak. I know sometimes we want to tell our kids things like, "You're so smart." Well, that is relative. Kids need to have more specific. Oftentimes it may be, I know you worked really hard on that. And I appreciate how hard you worked on that book report. And I know you were really busy, but you took time to come and help me out with the situation that I was in. Thank you for taking time out to come and help me. That, see, those are specific things that meant a lot to me. And we need to develop our love language of words of affirmation to where that we make it a point to say things that we have taken the time to think about. The word love in the Bible, agape, it means to choose. In its root and basic form, just simply means to choose. And it means what God would choose in a spiritual sense. It is choosing to say and to do what God would choose to say and to do. To only speak and say those things which are altruistic, which would be only for the benefit and the help of that person, purely and completely devoid of any other strings or attachments. You don't make choices without thinking about them first. And some things can be spontaneous, but there are things that we can do that can be so powerful if we would take the time to think before we speak and choose to say the things that will encourage and build up that person that is in our life that God has placed there for that moment. Paul said to the Ephesians church in chapter 4 and verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Only speak what is helpful to build others up according to their needs, and that they may benefit by what we say to them. Now, I know that's harder to do. That's easier said than done. Amen? And that's easier to do than it is to put into practice. That's why it's called love. Because anybody can say anything. But not everybody knows you well enough to be able to speak something into your life to build you up and to encourage you. Especially in your time of need. We often want to tell people, did you ever notice, and sometimes it's hard, the hardest thing about all this is people don't like getting compliments. Have you ever noticed that? "Oh, I like your new dress today. Oh, it's old. I've worn it many times." You ever notice people are like that? You know, just having trouble taking compliments. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "Oh, I didn't notice." But we don't say that. You know, "Thank you for noticing." When people give you a compliment or they give you a gift, what do you say?
"Thank you."
"Thank you for noticing." And then a lot of times when we give compliments, sometimes they're more just, they're either patronizing or they're hidden critiques of somebody. "Wow, you really did pretty good there today. Now, if you would have just done this over here, it would have been perfect." I complimented them. I affirmed them. Uh-huh. How come it doesn't feel that way? Can I get an amen? Now, and I know mothers are infamous for this. Sometimes fathers are too, but usually it's the mothers. "Oh, that's great. Did you clean your room?" "That's not what I asked you to do." You know, and so... We you got a good grade today. Now, we need to work on this other class. You know, words of affirmation can be baffling sometimes, not only to speak and to give, but also to receive. And so what we're going to challenge the church to do in this first week of the five love languages and words of affirmation is for the next 5 days, to give love somebody with words of affirmation once per day over the next 5 days. Maybe you can do your husband or your wife one day. Maybe if you have children, you can do one of them a different day. And maybe if you're a little weirded out by it, you can say, well, and don't say it like this. Well, I've got to do my words of affirmation today, and I picked you. Today's your day on the calendar. No, you weren't day one, but you're day four, so you made it on the list. Feel privileged. I know, right? It sounds like something you would say. How about, I've been thinking about what Pastor Rob preached Sunday morning, and I want to just tell you, say something to you, give you a compliment, tell you what I appreciate about you, and then kind of set the stage so they know what's about to happen, and tell them, but you have to think about it first. What do you, I was thinking about today, well, what would I say to my wife? What would I say to my son? What would I say to my daughter? And I was thinking about my wife, and I thought that I'll just tell her the thing that I appreciate about her is her perseverance. Because she's had to face a lot of naysayers when she decided to go back to school. She had to face a lot of personal apprehensions when she decided to go back to school. And of course, she had to face her boss when she decided to go back to school and still be a pastor's wife and still be the worship leader, director of the worship team and still be a wife and still be a mother and then having to take all those tests and all that homework and then coming back and it's a little, you know, sometimes when you start a job, when you're the new person on the block, everybody blames you for everything and takes everything out on you. And she's gone through many ups and downs and turmoils over the past 3 years, but she has persevered through all of them. She definitely gives a joy and a great example for the saying, do you love what you do? And that woman loves what she does. And because of that, she perseveres. That, for that matter, she must love me too. Because soon she'll have persevered for 25 years. Now that's perseverance. And I appreciate that about her, that she perseveres. And so we should... So think about it, meditate on it for the next 5 days, say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or you can start today. Maybe instead of starting with the people you like the most, maybe start with the people that irritate you the most. You should have seen the one that I picked out and had on before I put this one on. That compliment just bounced right to my mind. She picked out my hat and tie on. It was a red tie, but it looked real. I thought, man, I'm going to be a clown when I go to church today. And she was just like, not that tie. Not my tie. Not my tie. And so I took the tie off and took my shirt off and got all the chai changed over and retied the tie. So anyway, hallelujah. Anyhow. Well, you really threw the whole class off. You must have been one of those students in school. Teacher. Let's all stand together today. The first of the five love languages is words of affirmation. Words are so powerful that we can change people by our words. What love language does the people in your life favor? How can you bless them and strengthen them and encourage them? Let's do that this week. And of course, this is Valentine's Day. And no, I love you. Now, I love you can be a powerful thing to say in the right circumstance. When we talk about words of affirmation, add a little something to it. I love you because. I love you because this is what I love about you. And this makes me feel happy. This makes me feel calm. This makes me feel peaceful. When I think about this, when I see you doing this, it makes me feel safe and secure. And tell people the things that, because we spend so much time telling people things that they're doing wrong. We spend so many times praying to God and telling Him everything that's wrong. And then we do that in our lives. Let's spend some time this week telling God all the things He's doing right. Easier said than done, isn't it? And let's spend some time this week telling the people in our lives, showing them love by telling them why we love them, and telling them what they're doing right, and what it is about them that just blesses you, and just build them up and encourage them and strengthen them. Sometimes it's those things that they do that annoy us that are great gifts that God gives to us through them. Sometimes it's those things that they do that annoy us that are blessing us in ways that we don't want to recognize. Let's recognize it this week, and let's think about it, and then let's speak it out. Thank you. I love you for this. Thank you for that. I appreciate this about you. And if you want to just preface it, if you're uncomfortable by saying, well, I've been thinking about what Brother Rob said, and I want to tell you why I love you. Lord Jesus, we love you because